All right, let's take our Bibles and let's go to James chapter 3 this morning. James chapter 3, and I will allude to that once. This is the first time since I've been married that I've preached in this service since I've been married, so that's the only time I'm going to allude to that right now. But James chapter 3, as we look into our verse and into our Bibles here this morning, I want us to start to think about this idea. It's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Some of you are probably very familiar with this passage of Scripture, but it's a reminder for some of us, because as we go through life, there are certain times and things that happen, and we tend to forget how powerful this can be. It's one of the smallest things in the world. It really only measures about maybe 3 to 3.5 inches at the most. It can cause good, but it can also cause destruction and chaos. It can work pretty hard, yet it can be a hard thing to control. And we speak about our tongue. This morning, I want us to see and examine our tongue and see how we can control it, but also see what harm it can do. And we're looking at James chapter 3, and I want us to look at verse number 5. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10, and then two other passages, one verse each as we finish out. But James chapter 3, verse 5, the Bible tells us, says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." I submit to you this morning, as we're looking into the verses here, that we should control and think of what we say. It can either build up or tear someone down. And that is the power of our tongue, which is the hardest fire to quench. We're going to look at how that is and how we can try to control it. Father, as we look to you in prayer, we thank you for the day you've given to us. We thank you for the opportunity that we have just to be able to be in an environment here, to be in a free place, to be able to freely preach your word. We don't have to fear persecution or someone coming in and trying to kick us out. Father, I pray that you just help us as we look into your word this morning, that you would help us to set aside the distractions that may be going on around us, that we can just focus in on your word here for these few minutes. Help me as I preach to help it to be clear, to help it to be easy to be understood, to be plain and simple. And use me to share what you would have for us to hear today, and those online viewing as well. Father, if there's someone in here who does not know you as Savior, who has never asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior, they don't know what that means, Father, I pray that you would just work in their heart, that they would be able to understand that they can be forgiven because of the fact that we are sinners, and because of that, there is that penalty of death, but you have sent your Son to die on that cross so that way we can have that free gift of salvation. Father, we ask that you bless and move in our services today, in Jesus' name, amen. So first of all, I want us to look at this little member here in verses 1 through 5 here. Verse 1, James chapter 3 says, "As my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." What in the world is James talking about here? Well, the idea of masters here is a teacher, being many teachers. Why? "For they shall receive the greater condemnation." As people teach, they are accountable for what they teach and what they say. If something they teach is false, they're going to be held accountable for that. So James is kind of indicating here, hey, my brethren, those who are saved, those who are in the Lord, if you're a teacher, be careful. Know what you're teaching and teach it accurately. Why? Because you shall, if you teach wrong, you will receive the greater condemnation. Verse 2, "For in many things we offend all." Offending here has this idea of to trip, to err, or to sin, or this idea of to fall. So, in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. Have you ever been able to always say the same thing and say it without offending people? I can tell you I haven't. There have been times I've said something like, I should have never said that. I'm sure all of us can think of an example like that. We unfortunately cause people to do wrong in the way that we speak or in the way we say something. And how do we know this? Well, this is building up into verse 5. But the verse continues and says, "The one who If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. If we can control ourselves, we can help others not to fall or err. The Holy Spirit is able to give us that self-control. And we need to pray for that, that we can have that self-control. Galatians 5:23, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit, self-control. The word you'll read there is temperance. So now James is going to give us some illustrations here of control. Verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth. A bit's not really that big if you really look at it. It's a nice little metal piece. It's about 4.5 to 6 inches, depending on the horse. It's not really much. You put it inside the mouth, and it secures on the side, and you use the strings, I forget the fancy word for that, and what the reins, and you use that to guide that horse. And that little small piece is able to guide, and you're able to control that horse. If that's not in the horse's mouth, is the horse going to be in your control? Most likely not, especially if you're on top of it. Most likely it's going to try to get you off or something else like that. So verse 3 says, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. That little bit, you move the horse left, it's going to go left. If it goes right, you're going to go right with it. Think of verse number 4. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, thinking so big, somebody think of the biggest ships that you can think of, the Titanic, the Louisiana, I think is the term of it. And some of these great ships, cruise ships, all these big, immaculate ships, how are they turned? By a small rudder. Think about it, verse 4. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listed. When you turn that ship, you don't see the whole boat bend when you turn. No, it's in the water, and it's a little small piece. Depending on the size of the boat, it could be a little bigger, but it's not terribly big. But it causes that ship to turn its directions that you want to go. So it gives these illustrations. We come back to verse number 5, which is our text verse. Even so, the tongue is a little member. Probably one of the smallest things on us and the human body is our tongue. Obviously, there's other small things. You got the pinky toe and things like that. But in the manner of things that operate in the body, it's a small member, but it does a lot of things. Verse 5 again. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. How do you speak? Is it going to work? You may understand some things, but your tongue helps you with words. You have to use your tongue to pronounce certain words. When I was younger, third, fourth, fifth grade, up until about fourth or fifth grade, all my R's sounded like W's. So you could basically say I had the Elmer Fudd syndrome. Okay, instead of saying rubber, it'd be bubber. Okay, why? The difference is that you have to curl your tongue to get the R sound out for you to pronounce that word properly. Okay, so even though the tongue is a small member, it boasteth great things. It boasts, it talks big, it's arrogant, and it can be egotistic. It boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Think of in history, think of all the wars that have happened in world history. Some of them were caused by actions, but a lot of them were caused by words. Words cause conflict. A tongue can do some great things, but it can also do some bad things. We see here that James is leading up to this point about the tongue, but now we're going to see what he says about it more specifically. Verses 6 to 10, it shows us here it's a member that's least controlled. We can control a lot of things, but sometimes it's hard to control what comes out of our mouth. Verse 6. And the tongue is a fire. It's a fire. It's agitating. It's continually blazing. It can agitate a situation. Have you ever tried to come along to a situation, then you say something that kind of just blows it up a little more so? The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The idea here is injustice or wrongfulness of character. The tongue is a fire, world of iniquity, causing a lot of things that should not be so. So, verse 6, is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. Defileth here has this idea of to stain or to soil. People will judge us by what we say, by what we do, by our actions. And if you say something that's wrong, how are people going to remember you? By that word, by that thing you said. The tongue, it defiles, it stains, it soils the whole body and setteth on fire. This idea here is to cause a blaze to ignite or to inflame with passion. It sets on fire the course of nature. The nature is this idea of a circuit of a physical effects or a wheel. The tongue can start a fire and it can continually burn and get bigger and bigger and bigger. Imagine if you have a tire spinning in water. The more you accelerate that tire, the higher up the water starts to kick up. The tongue can start something and keep it spinning and get it going quicker. And what's the end result of that? And it's set on fire of hell. It sets in motion a chain reaction of events. It can cause destruction. Words can cause harm. Verse 7, for every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and have been tamed of mankind. Most of the animals, you have a dog, you have a cat. What do? You tame it. We can control that certain animal, whatever you decide to have as a pet. Most animals in nature will not go after human beings unless they are provoked. I was telling somebody the other day, we took our teenagers many years ago. We took them canoeing or kayaking, one of those two, up at Jonathan Dickinson Park. And they saw an alligator over here on the side of the seashore. And some of the guys were kind of hitting the water a little bit, trying to splash the water. And now there's a tree divide between where they're at and where they were supposed to go, which is where I was at. I was on the other side of the trees. And so I'm hearing them trying to, oh, alligator, come here, alligator. And they maybe named him Alex, who knows. But they're trying to get this alligator to react. And then once they see the alligator flip around and turn around, you hear this loud, ah! And they're trying to, like, paddle away. And you just hear this scare. Why? Because they agitated that animal. Most animals will not come after you. I didn't say all. Most. You go out here and you go to a field. You see a garden snake roaming around there. Just leave it alone. As long as you don't try to poke it and stuff like that, it's going to do its own little business, slither away, and not harm or affect you. And animals are tamed, and we typically have been able to control them. But verse 8 says the tongue we cannot control. Verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It cannot be tamed fully. Controlled by man. It is unruly evil. It's unrestrainable. That's the idea here behind unruly. Full of deadly poison. It can cause rust or venom. It can cause things to harm and stick with people. If your love language is words of affirmation and someone says something negative about you, it affects you quite a bit. It'll affect you more than other things that people will say. Why? Because people, those with the love language of words of affirmation, like to hear words of encouragement. But if they're torn down, that's going to really affect them quite a bit. We won't be able to subdue it like an animal, but we can control our tongue by how much damage it causes. A slanderer can ruin people. How do we see that? Well, let's look at verse number 9. Therefore, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men. Slanderer can ruin people, saying things false about someone and changing a person's perception about someone. You're saying something behind someone's back about somebody else? It's not right. And we're going to look at some Bible verses and principles here later on that shows that. But we ought not to be people, especially those who are saved, those who are children of God, talking negative about other people. We're supposed to be unified and be one together. You know, all of us are different. All of us are unique. Dare I say, all of us are weird. Okay? We all have our different things that we do. But just because someone doesn't fit our mold, shouldn't mean, oh, we have to try to degrade that person, push that person, and turn everybody's opinion against that person. And it happens in the world, and it even happens in churches. Verse 9 again. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. We can say we love God and degrade a person. Why? Man is created by God. Similitude has this idea of resemblance. Curse means to doom, to extract. We can cause people to be hurt. We can curse people and cause them to fall, cause them to turn away from the faith. Why? With the words that we speak. Verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. You can say something great about somebody in one sense, and then the next thing you know, you can say something negative. How is that? Well, verse 8, the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. And notice at the end of verse 10 here, my brethren, again, he's talking to believers here. James is writing. Here's what he says about this. These things ought not so to be. We shouldn't be one way and then be the other way. We ought to be able to control our tongue. We can't be positive and negative at the same time. We can't either be a blessing or don't say anything at all. Correction is different than murmuring and slandering and gossip or complaining. You can correct somebody, but once you want to go behind their back and say something negative about that person and not talk to that person directly, now you're slandering, now you're gossiping. We see it's a hard thing to control our mouth, to subdue our mouth, but how can we control it? We can't tame it, but how can we control it? Well, here's some things not to do. If you have your Bibles in James chapter 3, go over to chapter 4 and verse number 11. Don't speak evil about others. Chapter 4, verse 11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. We ought not to speak evil against each other. That's one way we can control our tongues, is to not do that. Titus chapter 3, verse 2. You don't have to turn there. A lot of these verses now we'll be quoting. But Titus chapter 3 and verse 2, to speak evil of no man. No, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Another thing we don't need to do with our tongue is to sow discord. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 16 through 19 says this, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that sows discord among brethren. What's another thing that we should not do with our tongue? Is number three, is we shouldn't be a busybody. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13 says this, 1 Timothy 5:13, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. If someone tells me something that's very personal to them, I'm not going to just tell it to anybody else. If they let me say it to my wife, then that's all I'm going to go to. But if someone tells me something personal about them, I'm not going to say, hey, look with this person. No, now what am I doing? I'm breaking their confidentiality. Now, maybe something saying something that's not true. But there are people who are tattlers. A tattler has this idea of a prater or a bubble popper. Busybodies has this idea of a meddler working all around. They're trying to find something new, so they want to get in other people's business and see what they can hear, and then they're going to move over here and say, hey, you know what this person said? This and this and this and this. And they're constantly trying to find a way to keep going and trying to find it, because that's all they're satisfied with doing, is trying to find out everybody else and know what they're doing. What does the Bible say? But tattlers and busybodies, 1 Timothy 5:13, speaking things which they ought not. There's some certain things that just don't need to be said. The fourth thing is, don't lie. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. We ought not to do that as brethren, as people who are children of God. We ought not to do that. So how can we control our tongue? These are things what we shouldn't do, and there are obviously other things, but these are one of the big things that we do with our mouth, with what we say. But how can we control it? Well, let's look at four ideas here, and then we'll be finished. Number one, treat others the way you want to be treated. Luke chapter 6, verse 31 says this, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. You want someone to talk about you negatively? Go ahead and talk negatively about other people. But don't be surprised when someone says something negative back about you. Number two, keep it from evil. Psalm 34, verse 13 says this, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Be careful, be watchful. The term says, think before you speak. I'm a big believer in that. Think before you speak. I'm going to tell you this, and then we'll give you the last two. But this happened the other week. And I'm not going to go into too much detail, but I remember what I had said had turned somebody away. Why? Because a situation had come where I was being introduced to somebody as the assistant pastor, and instead of greeting somebody as they ought to have been greeted, I was very harsh with the way I had said something. And what did I do? I literally turned this person away from someone in church because of how someone in church acted. Our tongue can do good, but it can also turn people away. I'm not proud of that. I still think about it even a week and a half later, because I possibly have caused someone not to be able to come into the church and hear the word of God because of something I had said while being under stress, or whatever the case was going on that day. I don't know what was going on that day, but I know it wasn't right. And it cause someone to have a bad impression. Keep it from evil. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Number three, watch what we say. Psalm 141, verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Watch what we say. And finally, is this, how can we can control our tongue? Lift up and edify each other. Ephesians 4:29, that should be on the screen here, and that's the last verse that we're going to look at this morning, says this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We ought to build each other up. Our tongues, what we say, ought to build each other up, not tear anybody down. May we be people who build up each other, not gossip, not slander, not murmur against others, especially those in the church. We ought to build each other up and not tear each other down. We are one body in Christ, and if we have issues with someone, go to them instead of talking behind their back. The world does that enough. Elections. What do people do in elections? They mudsling and they slander people left and right, whether it's true or not. Let the world do that. Shouldn't be in the church house. We ought to be able, we're not going to be able to tame it. No man's going to be able to tame it, but we can control it. And there are ways in which we can control it, and we have to allow God to use us to control what we say and do what His will is for our lives. Father, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for the day you've given to us. We thank you for the opportunity we have just to be here together. Father, I pray that you would just help us to examine ourselves here at this time and just help us, and if however you've moved in our hearts and moved them within our lives. I pray that if there's something that's hindering us or what we're saying is drawing people away from you, that you'd help us just to be able to control our tongues and to control the things that we say and the things that we do. Father, I pray that you just help us just to guard our lips, guard our mouth, and help us understand that we may not be able to tame it, but that we can control it with your help. Father, maybe there's someone in this room who's never asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior. They're not sure about it. I pray that they would. It's not the thrust of what we've been talking about this morning, but Father, I pray that if there's someone in here who's like that today, I just pray that they would understand, first of all, that they're sinners. We've all done wrong, and because of that, it's the reason why we are separated from you, and the reason why we need a Savior is because of our sin. And I pray that that they would understand that, and that if they ask your Son, Jesus Christ, to forgive them of their sins and to save their soul and to give them that eternal life, that you would give them that free gift of salvation that's been offered, but all we have to do is take it. Nothing more, nothing less. Father, I pray that you just bless and move now in this invitation time, that you'd help us just to, if you've convicted us of something that we've done or something that we need to get right with you, that you would move in our hearts and our lives as we pray and use this time of invitation to be able to draw closer to you and restore our walk with you. And we ask these things here in Jesus' name. Amen.